Hey, this is Pastor Dave. It's great having you with us. Dig into this word, hear it, and do it, and be blessed of God. Thank you, John and David's harp for that this morning. Can we give him another hand? That was wonderful. That was beautiful. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This morning, I know most of you here this morning, you know the Lord. You've given your life to the Lord, your faith is in Jesus Christ. But there are so many that do not know the Lord. There are so many out there that are without the Lord. They have no power to overcome. Our brother, as he shared just a little bit of his testimony, just recognize he was sharing, these are some of the struggles that I'm going through. There's struggles. We all face struggles. But I thank God that because of the power of God, that power that raised Jesus from the dead, that power is within us. And we are able to overcome despite the leprosy, despite the suffering, despite the battles, despite all these other things that we may face. We are able to overcome because of our faith in Jesus Christ and the power that resides in us. Jesus overcame death. He rose on the third day. He rose on the third day. He overcame death. He overcame hell. He overcame the power of sin. And he is able to keep us. His grace is sufficient for us. His strength is made perfect in our weakness as we depend on him, as our faith is in him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. To know Jesus, the power of his resurrection, that power that is within us, that we would not put it down, that we would not depend on ourselves. We cannot do it on our own. And so often as a believer, that's exactly what we do. We attempt with our willpower, with our disciplines, with our own strength to get through. And the Lord is saying, I don't want you to do that. We cannot do that. We cannot use the flesh to overcome the flesh, that we would use the resurrection power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that we would use that same power to overcome daily. Hallelujah. The fellowship of his sufferings, that there would be a recognition of Jesus Christ and him crucified, being conformed to his death daily, daily taking up the cross, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. This last week, we had an opportunity, Julie and I, our youngest daughter Jackie, and my mom, we went up to Kingston, and we spent most of this week doing a lot of work, long days. The other night, we finished at 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. We were preparing for a move from one place, from an apartment to a new house. Needed a lot of renovating and renovations, and it still does, but there was a lot of transforming that took place in this past week. But one of the most exciting things for me was the fact we had the opportunity to enjoy new life. And our granddaughter, our very first granddaughter, Ophelia. And so right in the midst of all that was taking place, the moving, the cleaning, the renovating, and cleaning, and moving, and renovating, and renovating, and working, was this new life. It's amazing what a little baby can do, right? It can't do very much when it comes to working and renovating and cleaning and moving. But there was something about this little, not even 11-month-old child, 10 months old, trying to get attention and taking everything in. Yeah, at times there's cries because her teeth are coming out and there's the pain of that. But there's the soaking in of everything of life. That's what's around her. To try to get attention. To get your attention. And even as she would get my attention, I'd look over, and there she is looking at me. Then there would be that little smile that would come. I didn't do anything. Maybe it was my goofy look. I don't know what it is, but there was that smile that came on her face. Just a little smile and a big smile then. There was just joy that would well up within me. This thing of the recognition of new life. And the opportunity just to hold her, to snuggle up, just to kiss her cheek, to make little noises in her ear. And she'd just hold her head. And when I'd pull away, she'd pull in closer to me like this. New life. New life. The joy of new life. Jesus answered and said to him, to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We need to be born twice. We need to be born twice, and we'll only die once, or only be dead once. We need to be born twice. We'll only die once. It says in Hebrews 9:27, "As it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment, where will we spend eternity?" Today, I'm not speaking so much to those that are saved. You've given your life to the Lord. But I want to speak to you that are saved. I want you to look past yourself. I want you to look past yourself because there are people around you that are dead. There are people within your own family that are dead. Thank you, brother. Mind you, I don't mind the tears flowing. That's okay. There are people that you know that are dead. They're dead in trespasses and sins. And you he made alive who were once dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. This is a description of Satan himself, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We were all in that place. This morning, are you dead or alive? The majority of you here today are alive because of your faith in Jesus Christ. We haven't arrived yet. There isn't a thing of perfection yet when it comes to our conduct. But we can be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun that work of bringing us to life, that work that of change within us, will continue it right until the day of the Lord. Whether that's when you are called home or when the trumpet sounds, either one. There is a possibility, and I truly believe that at this point, that we will not experience death as believers at this time. I truly believe that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is that close, that I will not experience death, that you will not experience death as a believer, and you will be caught up to be with the Lord. What about your spouse? Does your spouse know the Lord? Is your spouse a believer? Or has your spouse perhaps fallen away or strayed away? What about your children? What about your friends? What about your loved ones? What about your neighbors, your co-workers? What about the stranger? Are they dead or alive? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is critical to all mankind. The fact that Jesus overcame. Listen, Paul writes about this. He says, if Jesus did not come to life, if he did not rise again, we would be the most pitiful of all people on the planet. Because there's no hope without Jesus Christ and his resurrection, his death and burial and resurrection. And with that, we have a hope, we have a future, we have an eternity. That our eternity would be with him, and that the eternity of others around us would be with him, not apart from him. There is such a work that needs to be done, whether it's within your own family, whether it's within your own circles, or whether it is those that are strangers to you, because they don't know Jesus Christ. They are dead in trespasses and sins. If we are born twice, we die once at most. If we are born only once, we will die twice. Listen to the extent of this. This is extreme. If we are not born again, if we are not born twice, we will die twice. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. This has not happened yet. It will happen. I've said this in the past. The Lord comes back today, it will be 1,007 years when this event will happen in Revelation 20. The great white throne judgment. And it will not be, you will not be able to get away or whatever. We will stand before God Almighty. And it says, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The books of the people's lives written, every single action, every thought, every motivation, every intention, every single thing written down. And the books are opened. And unless there is the blood of Jesus Christ to cover those actions and to wipe and cleanse those sins that are written down and everything, that every action, unless there is the blood of Jesus over us, there is no way that we can get out from this. We need the blood of Jesus. We need to be born again. We need to be in right standing before the Lord Jesus returns, before we die. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. Why? Because he overcame death and hell. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Only born once, you die twice, and this is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You say, Pastor, what kind of encouraging message is this today? I am telling you, keep your faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified. Keep your faith there. That your faith would not waver from that. That your faith would be in the one, the only one that can take care of your sins. The only one that can wash them away. Not just cover them, but he washes them away. Even as we say, Lord, I am a sinner. As you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Let me be clear. Sin is a death sentence. Sin is a death sentence. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. The wages, the payment of our sins. You say, Pastor, have you never sinned? Oh, yes. Absolutely. My sins are taken care of by Jesus Christ and what he did for me on the cross. My faith remains there daily. In fact, I deny myself, I deny my efforts, and I take up the cross daily. You might say, what does that mean? It means my faith remains in Jesus Christ and him crucified daily. You say, is it that simple? It is that simple. And we have a hope. There we can follow Jesus. Hallelujah. You might say, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad a person, and God is a God that loves. I just want you to read, if you have a chance, you read through Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 is the law. The law that is even for today, and the law that we will be judged by if we don't have Jesus Christ. We will be judged according to these Ten Commandments. I'm the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Who is your God? Oh, I know about Jesus. I even use his name in vain when I'm upset. Who is your God? If it is not Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, you've already broken the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall make no for yourself no carved image. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any image. And I'll tell you, we make an image. People say, God is a God of love. He loves. Absolutely he loves, but he's also a righteous, just, and holy God. And so we make up our own images. Sometimes they're carved images that are on a wall in a church. We worship those carved images. Or sometimes it's an image that we make in our own head, in our thoughts, and we justify our behavior and say, well, God is a loving God, and he loves me, and he would never do that to me because I'm not that bad. We've already broken two of the commands. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. How many of you have said Jesus Christ, and it was not because you were calling out to him? I think most of us have taken his name in vain. Sometimes it's just, oh my God. I can't believe how many people say that, oh my God, and it's in vain. They've shortened it down to OMG. OMG, in vain. And it goes on. If you go through those Ten Commandments, I'll tell you right now, we probably broke every single one of them, and we will stand before God Almighty. And if Jesus is not Lord in our life, if he has not erased every single one of those sins by his precious blood, because of our faith in him, we will be guilty. I am guilty without Jesus Christ and him crucified. You might say, well, that's Old Testament. Pastor, that's Old Testament. We're New Testament. We're New Testament. Let me read New Testament to you. Revelations 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, The unbelieving. I don't believe in Jesus. Or I don't believe that that's how I'm saved because of who Jesus is and what he did for me on the cross. I'm not that bad a person. The cowardly or the timid. In other words, it's almost like, you know what, I'm going to depend on myself. Can't depend on anybody else. The abominable murderers. You say, oh, well, at least I'm not that, and I'm not that. Sexually immoral. Not sure about that one. Sorcerers. You know that unbelief and disobedience is like witchcraft? This also has to do with partaking in pharmakeia. You may say, Pastor, do you have something against medications? No. But I'll tell you right now, some of you may be hooked on pharmakeia, and you need to be set free. You're depending on pharmakeia, sorcery. So you're a sorcerer. Idolaters, having other things before God, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 28, or 21, verse 8. The second death. You say, Pastor, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. I say, thank you, Lord, that it doesn't end there. It says, and such were some of you. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, you made right, you were made, you were set apart for God. How? Not because of your goodness, but because of his goodness, his love to you. You were justified, you were made right in the sight of God in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is, if my faith remains there, I am in a right position before God. And he washes us and he cleanses us and he gives us the power to overcome. Hallelujah. The power of his resurrection, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And even as we place our faith in Jesus, we are raised to new life in Jesus Christ. The moment we place our faith in him, hallelujah, to take care of the sin. You might say, does that mean that I never sin again? I've been saying this for the last while. For goodness sake, don't practice sin. Practicing of sin is this. I purposely set out to do something that I shouldn't. It's a different thing if I may fall and there's a fight that's going on. I just want to give you encouragement. The power that is within you is unleashed the moment you shift your faith from yourself to Jesus Christ and him crucified. And the power of the Holy Spirit that is within you as a believer will help you through. I'm not saying you won't have temptations. I'm not saying that you won't have issue perhaps in your life. But the power of the Holy Spirit that is within you as a believer will help you through. As your faith is in the right spot, just shift your faith. As my brother said this morning, every time I looked around at the storm around me, as I looked at the obstacles around me, as I looked at my own faults and failings and whatever, and Peter was sinking, but he looked to Jesus. I like what you said, brother. Even when our faith is not enough and we cry out, and even in the sinking, sand and the sinking quicksand in the waters of life, the storms of life, he is there to reach out to us. Hallelujah. And to lift us up. Hallelujah. The power of his resurrection to have new birth, to be born twice. You may only die once. In fact, again, yeah, I was dead in trespasses and sins. There was a time I was dead in trespasses and sins. But I truly believe, unless the Lord takes me home early, I truly believe that I will not die. I will see Jesus Christ. As a trumpet sounds, we need to be ready. Your loved ones need to be ready. And so Jesus said to the religious man, one of the top rulers of Jerusalem, that one of the Pharisees, Nicodemus, he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, Nicodemus, unless one is born again, you and anybody else, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then he expands on this. What does that mean? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, born of water. In fact, all of us, all of you, all of us are here today. We were born in water. We were developing in our mother's womb in water. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We need to be born of God. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Listen, listen. God desires for you and every single person on this planet, his heart and his desire is that we would be with him for eternity, not apart from him. That's why God is patient, not willing that any should perish, but that they would come to repentance. Clarence, your brother-in-law, is he? We were praying last week for him. Is it John, is it? How is John doing? Apparently he was dying. He didn't have much time left. They were basically saying he's going to die. And there was prayer that went up by the church, by prayer force, especially the message went out, pray for John. Is John still alive? You might say, why do I bring up John and prayer and all of that? I bring up for one reason. He is still alive because he is not ready to die yet. He is not spiritually ready at this point, as far as I know. He was told. I'll tell you right now, our old age homes are filled with people that should have been dead decades ago. And they're still alive because of the grace and mercy of God. And they're in their 80s, they're in their 90s, they're past 100 years of age at times. For one simple reason is that God does not want the death of a sinner. God does not want the death of a sinner. He desires for us to be a part of bringing about new life as we share the message of the cross, as we share the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a work that needs to be done. You, this church, like I say, most of you here today are saved. You are born again. You've been born of God. Have you arrived yet? No, you haven't arrived yet. Are you perfect? No, neither am I. But man, thank God that he's doing a work of changing us. But that is not where it stops. And that is why the Lord says, I want you to go out. I want you to go out to all the nations, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things that I've commanded you. Tell them about me and the things, how they should live, even as they are, give their life to me. Tell them how they should live. He says, I'm going to be with you. Lo, I'll be with you right to the end of the age. Next week, our city, supposedly, will be inundated with 1 million people. I'm not sure where they're all going to be. This little town of 90,000. Apparently, our mayor has declared a state of emergency because of all these people that will be here next week because of the eclipse, which just happens to be at a certain point on the planet, cutting right through Niagara Falls. Right across Niagara Falls, so we're going to have a full eclipse. Don't look at the sun during the eclipse because you can be blinded. That's why they say get those special glasses. And truly, yeah, don't be looking at the sun during the eclipse without those glasses for any length of time. 1 million people here. In fact, we have 12 to 14 million people that come to Niagara Falls every single year, this tiny little city, and we need to reach them. Can I just interject here? I just want to thank God that so many of you are involved in prayer regularly. It says in the last days to watch and pray. And we would not just be clueless as what's going on around us, because we are living in the last days and there is a harvest that needs to come in. Why? Because Jesus loves people. God loves people, and he needs for them to be born of God for the sake of relationship, for the sake of having sins forgiven. The book that's being written for every single person, every act, every thought, everything done in secret, nobody sees. I'll tell you right now, it's like, please, God, Jesus, forgive me of my sins done in secret. Forgive me. And let them all be washed away. Let them all be washed away. Lord, that I would not continue to practice sin, but my faith would be in you daily. The millions of people that are coming to this city, to this region, we have opportunity to reach them. That we would continue to pray. This year, we are just in the process. It's part of Revive Niagara. And I just want to say, you may say, what is Revive Niagara? It's basically the Lord declaring a word to come to life, revive. And there's a work that's already begun, small. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the same Spirit of God that is within us. Lord, let there be mountains made as a plain. The obstacles, let them be made as a plain that we could reach out to those that are lost. And part of this reaching out during this, the course, the continuation of this year, 2024, that we would encircle this region at this point in prayer daily. One of the things that we're in the works of doing at this point is meeting at different places all around this Niagara region that God has placed us in, where millions come for the sake of seeing people come to the Lord. It said, Jesus said, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. As he saw these multitudes, sheep without a shepherd, sheep on their own, there's no defense, they're wandering here and there, that he was moved with compassion. He says, the harvest is ripe. We're not talking about a physical harvest, we're talking about a spiritual harvest of souls. The harvest is ripe. People are ready to come to Jesus Christ. That we would, he says, I want you to pray to the Lord of the harvest. And that's what we want to do. We're going to be praying to the Lord of the harvest here and in different places around this region over the course of the next number of months, 7 months, all the way around the region and right across the middle, and just praying, Lord, let there be a force, a labor force to take in the harvest. Because the harvest is ripe. In fact, you don't even have to wait for these prayer times or whatever. But that you just say, Lord, here I am. Use me to speak to those that are in my own family. Give me the opportunity. Give me the timing that I will speak to them, that I will minister to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. You might say, what do I talk about? Talk about what separates us from God. One sin. Listen, we need to be ready to go. Just one sin separates us. There's only one thing that can take care of those sins, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Because God desires for us to be with him. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask David's harp if they just come and perhaps sing that last song. Just prepare it. And I just want to share this. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Once again, when is this going to happen? Right after the white throne, the great white throne judgment. So at least 1,007 years from now. You might say, what's happening in between? We got 7 years of tribulation coming to this planet. It is coming soon. 7 years. If you think it's bad now, it'll be much worse for those that are left here on this planet. They still have opportunity to come to Jesus Christ. There will be many saved during the tribulation, but don't depend on that because it's going to cost them their lives. The martyrs, they're martyrs. That means they will die for their faith, every single one, or those that come to Christ yet will die for their faith. 1,000 years to reign here on this earth, then the white throne judgment, and then this new heaven and new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Actually, I found a new picture, or a picture I hadn't seen in years, and it's our wedding picture. I was like, oh, man, that was a long time ago. It's going to be 37 years, just in a few weeks, that we got married. I was looking forward, or I looked at the picture, the bride, the bridegroom, looked at Julie and myself. This holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. An amazing city. Talks about this city, about 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles, length and width and height, 1,500 miles high. Gives us the dimensions, 1,400 to 1,500 miles. That's like half the size of the United States, one city, the New Jerusalem. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men to be in his presence. And he will dwell with them and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. This is going to happen. Can we just rise together as we close? And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. As we are born of God, We need to go out to the cowardly, to the unbelieving, to the abominable, to murderers, to sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, and every single person in between. Go out and see that they come to know Jesus Christ. That there's a work done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Above all powers, all kingdoms, all thrones, Jesus is above all. This morning, maybe you might say, Pastor, oh my goodness, I'm not in the right place before God. I'm not in the right place. And maybe you're at a place where you say, God wouldn't do that to me. I'm telling you now, you have broken that second commandment of making another image of God in your own mind. You may say, Pastor, yeah, I'm guilty. It says, if we confess, this is 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful. We're not confessing to man, we're confessing to the Lord Jesus Christ. We confess to Him, Jesus, I have sinned. I place my faith in You. I put my faith in You because You are the only one. Jesus Christ, His blood shed for us is the only thing that can wash away sin. This morning, even as we confess our sins, He is the one that is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A few verses before that, it says, by His blood. 1 John 1:7, by His blood. So this morning, if we could pray together to make a confession, that it would not just be a confession, there would not just be repentance, a turning from sin, but as Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel, or good news, the good news of Jesus Christ, the fact that He took all our sins upon Himself and He paid the penalty for us. You might say, what penalty? The wages of our sin is death. To be separated from God for eternity. He took that upon Himself. If we believe on Him. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This morning, we would pray together. Can we pray together? And maybe there is one person here that doesn't know Jesus. Or maybe there's one person that you're saying, Pastor, does God know what I sin secretly? And maybe I'm way past that. Maybe I'm sinning openly, and I don't care. Lord is saying, I don't want for you to spend eternity apart from me. I do want for you to be with me. Confess your sins, repent, turn from them, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and keep your faith, have your faith in Him, because He is the one that is able to cleanse you and wash you and set you free. Hallelujah. And change you, transform you. Hallelujah. To be a child of God and be ready. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank You for Your death, for the burial, and Your resurrection. You overcame death and hell and the power of sin, the consequences of my sins. You took upon Yourself. I believe in You. I place my trust in You for my salvation, for my eternity. I ask You to come into my life. I receive You into my life. I will keep my faith always in your finished work on the cross. Let the power of your Spirit, that resurrection power, flow from me and flow to others, that they too can have life, even as I share the good news of who you are and what you did for us on that cross to deal with sin and to bring us to life eternally. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope that the word you received was impactful and encouraging. We hope you can connect with us in person or online through our socials or website. Make sure you share this with others, and God bless you richly.